All right, we're going to start this morning in the book of Matthew in chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." I wanted to stop right there because there's a lot in that. And I'm thinking right now of, you know, it would be hard to realize, to ever really realize what Mary went through, you know, being visited by an angel and saying, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and, you know, you're going to bear a child, and then have to explain your way through that whole thing. You know, like people are going to believe that, right? And yet, that's how God decided to do it. I mean, that's God's executive decision, and that's really wild that he decided to do that. God does, we've been saying recently, right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, he doesn't do the things the way we would like for him to do them, nice and neat in a package. He does things and probably purposely, but he just makes everything mixed up. It just doesn't do things like us, and he's like, deal with it. You know, this is the way this is going to come down. Deal with it, even though most of you are not gonna believe this, but this is how it's coming down. And it says about Joseph, Jesus' mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, so they're engaged. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. We know that knowledge came to Joseph in a dream by an angel. Now, how many people believe dreams? I mean, many of us have had dreams. Many of us have had spiritual dreams. But how many people actually really act on a dream? And imagine him doing that I had this dream. You know, it says dream. It says not a vision. It wasn't a vision of an angel. The Luke version or wherever it is, it says he had a dream. That means he was sleeping at night and an angel spoke to him and said that, you know, what is growing in Mary's womb is of the Holy Spirit. And it says Joseph was a just man. You know, God likes good people. There's a scripture that says, "A good man out of his good heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of his evil heart brings forth evil things." There's something about that. There's something about Joseph being a just man, and that makes me like him a lot, because he didn't want to make. It says he was a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. Because he could have very easily said, "I reject you," and let everybody in the town know that I had nothing to do with this belly that's growing in this woman, that I'm betrothed with. I'm the victim here. I'm a victim of this thing, right? I mean, that sounds to me like the story that we'd hear today. I'm a victim. I was betrothed. I was engaged to this woman, and now all of a sudden she's with child because I'm a just man and we have not been together. There's a story in the Old Testament, book of Genesis, about Noah. And it just connected with me. The story of Noah, after Noah goes through all that he goes through, right? I mean, Noah builds that ark for 100 years. He's building this ark, right? It had never rained yet, and he's building this ark for 100 years. And I mean, and these animals start showing up, filling up the ark. I mean, this is, yeah, have you ever heard the word unprecedented? Talking about you, unprecedented, right? So Noah gets done with the whole ark project. Doors open, animals go, and he starts to be a farmer. So it says, now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And Noah began to be a farmer and planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Listen, you know, I'm not sticking up for Noah or anything. You know, it's not, it's certainly embarrassing. It's certainly an embarrassing thing. This patriarch of the human race who God decided to start over with. I mean, it's pretty embarrassing, frankly. He drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. He ran outside to tell his brothers, you got to see the old man in his tent, Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Perfect. But Shem and Japheth, the two other brothers, they took a garment and they laid it on their shoulders and went backward into the tent. They walked backwards into the tent and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew that what his younger son had done to him. And he actually cursed Canaan, not his own son Ham, but Ham's son Canaan, which is kind of, I don't know, you know, That's another whole message for another day. But he blessed Shem and Japheth. I think there's a correlation there to Joseph covering his wife. It says that Joseph, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. Does that make sense to you? Do you know that one of the most important things that you'll ever do is cover someone else's sin? Is cover, especially someone who is upscale from you? Instead of talking about them and gossiping about them and murmuring about them, covering them and not exposing them? You see, that's what Joseph had a mind to do. Because why? Because Joseph was a just man. And even though he knew what was growing inside of Mary was not his, he had a mind to put her away secretly because he didn't want her to be embarrassed. Do you know that the body of Christ is called to love one another? God doesn't put us in the ark together to gossip about each other, to talk about whether we're good or bad or indifferent, whether we're pretty or we're ugly or we're whatever. Isn't that interesting? I really think that there's a genuine correlation between these two. It says Noah lived after the flood 350 more years. All of the days of Noah were 950 years since he died. You know, one thing's funny about the Bible is nobody lives to be 1,000 years. There's something about that. Methuselah is the oldest guy. He's like 960-something when he dies. That's before God cut the lifespan of humans way down because he recognized that letting us last longer is not going to make us any better. Matter of fact, the Bible says we tend to grow corrupt. That's why Jesus said, you have to come to me as a child. Because older folks have a hard time coming to Jesus. Older folks have a hard time coming to Jesus because they've grown corrupt. So now they don't want the real Jesus. There's something about finding Jesus young and giving yourself completely to him young. There's something about that. Because when you grow corrupt, It's hard to uncorrupt when you grow corrupt. It's really, especially if you've been a Christian for a while and then you grow corrupt as a Christian, and then you say, boy, I got to uncorrupt. You know, I got to cleanse myself. After you've been a Christian for a while, I'm going to tell you something. That is a hard deal, because you get entrenched in ways that are ungodly. You're better off starting young and just let that zeal burn brighter and brighter and brighter as time goes on. Okay? So now I'm going to go back to Matthew. So Joseph, this just man, had it in his mind to put Mary away because he didn't want her to be embarrassed. Really, like Shem and Japheth, wanted to cover her. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Listen, it's a dream, folks. You get up, do you believe every dream you have is from God? So, you know, I mean, you have a lot of dreams, and dreams are bizarro, right? They don't typically make sense. People from different portions of your life or people you've never seen show up in dreams, and dreams are wild. You know, and what makes a spiritual dream something that is, you know, something that's legitimately a spiritual dream? Well, I got to tell you something. The good man, out of the good things in his heart, brings forth good things. You'll know when it's Jesus. You'll know when it's an angel of God. And then you'll be obedient to it. Very few dreams I've ever had that have literally changed a trajectory in my life. But every once in a while, you're like, wow, this is, God just spoke to me in this dream. Okay, so back to Matthew. But while Joseph was thinking about these things, the angel came and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I was raised up in a church. I thought Jesus was like the only name, the only person ever named Jesus. No, it was a normal name. It was Fred, Charlie. Only thing, it wasn't Jesus, it was Yeshua, Joshua. He was named Joshua, like the Old Testament, Joshua. And Joshua means Yahweh saves. And that's why he was called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. But he wasn't the only Jesus. He was Jesus bar Joseph. Right? Jesus, son of Joseph, as opposed to Jesus, son of somebody else, I guess. Right? So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew word for Joshua, and it means Jehovah is salvation, or is his savior. It was a very common name among the Jews. It was used personally, you know, throughout the scriptures. Christmas celebrates the birth of the spotless Lamb of God, consummately misunderstood. He was misunderstood then, he's misunderstood today. There's not really much of a difference. He was born of Virgin Mary, born as the infant king, born to teach, born to die, born to defeat death and live again, born to rule and reign forever, born to lead many to eternity. laid as a newborn in an animal's trough because he came as a nobody. Jesus Christ came as a nobody. He came as a nobody. He wasn't born in a nice hospital, in a special VIP ward. He was born as a nobody. He couldn't even get a room. There was nobody that would give the guy a room. He was born among animals. And that's, again, where I think there's a correlation with Noah and all of his animals. There's a bit of a correlation. Laid in an animal's trough because he came as a nobody, not rich nor famous enough to even get a room. God's ways are not our ways, dear brothers and sisters. We must always remember that God's ways are not our ways. God is not a cage fighter. God is not a boxer. God's great strength is not shown through his ability to beat people up. His great strength is known through his ability to submit himself to the cross on behalf of others. Heralded at an impromptu press conference by a multitude of heavenly hosts to a gaggle of shepherd reporters, one for all and all for one, King Jesus, one Lord, one Savior, one blessed Redeemer. Let those who have ears to hear commit to seeking God while he may be found. That's a scripture that intimates that he may not always be able to be found. And you go through cycles in your life where you can find him, and you'll go through cycles in your life where you can't find him. You'll go through cycles in your life where he's available to you. It's not your decision when you decide which day you're really going to get serious about Jesus. God creates those cycles. And when God creates that cycle and your heart begins to burn within you and you know it's time for you to step up, that's the time that you do it. You don't say, I'm going to wait for a better time because I'm having a pretty good time in life right now and I really don't want to sort of mess it all up. Listen, God wants to mess you up in the best possible way. Yeah? Let those who have ears to hear commit to seeking God while he may be found and loving one another regardless of our differences. I love that scripture because of all tongues and all tribes and all nations are gathered together. They're all tongues and all tribes and all nations are gathered together, mixed before the throne of God. Because we are of one blood. We are of one blood. We are of all people. We are of one blood. And I love it that they went to shepherds. Because shepherds were watching. Shepherds were watching by night. The last 3 weeks we've spent preaching about how we're called to watch and pray. We're called to watch. If you're not watching, that dream will come like it came to Joseph, or some other thing will happen to you. It will come and go and you'll never know. Shepherds watch by night because their responsibility is to watch. And you know what it says of the shepherds? That as soon as they went and they saw the baby, they went everywhere telling everyone. They were the press. That was the gaggle. It's cool. I mean, it could have come to anybody. Love that. Okay, so how to seek Jesus. You know, here's a funny thing that I've found after doing this for a really long time. A lot of people find Jesus through different emotional or personal ports in their lives. Not everyone finds Jesus the same way. That means that different people come to Jesus in different ways. They question the reality of God in different ways. And I just want to finish by sharing a few of those. Some people reason their way to God. Some people, all within themselves, they look around and they say, I know all the brilliant scientists say that this happened by accident. And something crawled out of a primordial soup after nothing blew up in the Big Bang of nothing blew up, and out of the primordial soup, something crawled out that turned into us. I can't buy that. Some of us just say, I can't buy that. And so their reason brings them to the place where they become curious about God. And they begin to look, they begin to seek. They say, I can't buy that. I'm not calling scientists stupid. I'm saying they're trying to do the best they can apart from God, because that's what they do. They're naturalists, so they study nature and they try to figure out how things happened within nature apart from there being a God. You understand? That's just their deal. So sometimes some people come to Jesus just because they reason their way, and they may look at a few religions and discover the gospel of Jesus Christ and said, this makes the most sense. Number two, an intellectual. There are so many good books. If anybody's ever got an intellectual curiosity, me and my boys, we love Dr. Benjamin Weicker. He wrote a wonderful book called 10 Books That Screwed Up the World and 5 More That Didn't Help. Wonderful book. And then he's got, 10 books that every believer should read or something. There's some brilliant, brilliant work on our faith. We have smart people. Some people come into church. Some people get saved because they have a social need. The people that they spend time with, they're not, number one, either they spend time alone or they spend time, and the people that they spend time with are cads, are scoundrels. And there's something inside of them, they don't want to spend their time with scoundrels. They don't enjoy the company of scoundrels. And so they say, maybe a church. And they find their way into the church, and they find that some church folks are not scoundrels. There's a lot of nice people in church. Nicest people I ever met are in this church right here. Okay? Social needs. Some people just trust themselves. Some people will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, that's the truth. I've heard it. It finally penetrated my thick skull. I've heard it. It makes sense to me. I will give the rest of my life to Jesus Christ, period. It's not deep. That's the truth. I hear the truth, I recognize the truth, and I trust myself. That's when I always talk about Peter stepping out of the boat onto the water. Why did he do that? Well, number one, he trusted Jesus, but number two, he trusted himself. He trusted his own reasoning, that if Jesus said, come, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus preached a one-word sermon, come. And Peter is over the rail of the boat, walking on the water. Listen, that's not only trusting Jesus, that's trusting himself, that's trusting his own instincts. Follow? Number five, you've come to Jesus because you hear somebody preach. Somebody who has more faith in his belief system than you have in your belief system. Somebody who's talking about Jesus Christ, and you can hear that this person has done intellectual work, he's done spiritual work, he's done the work that's necessary for him to stand. Somebody who just believes, I believe what I believe more than you believe what you believe. I'm telling you, if you're not a Christian here in this church today, I believe what I believe more than you believe what you believe. I'll put money on that. I'm not a doubter. Does that mean I've never doubted? No. That means I have doubted and I've overcome it. And I've done my studies. I've done the work. I've learned to believe. Okay? Some people come to Jesus because of an emotional need. You know, your life is broken. Your heart is broken. You've lost loved ones. You've had an ugly divorce. You've been terribly disappointed in life. And you need somebody who will comfort you. And Jesus said he's going to send the Comforter. The Comforter has come. Jesus offers comfort to the brokenhearted. Some people come because of miracles. Some people come and they feel the joy and the praise, and they they hear the music being played, and they see that people are genuinely happy. They may not understand it, but they want in because they really like that kind of atmosphere, but they don't want to be at the bar anymore. Are you with me? Some people come because they have a spirit of generosity. And they come to a church and they find out, hey, this is a church. Catskill Mountain Christian Center is giving away $5 million worth of food. That's a generous people. We feed, 30 to 50 old folks every single week. That's generous people. When you're generous, it's attractive. It means that you own your stuff. Your stuff doesn't own you. Finally, number 10 is love. Because if you find a real church, you'll find people that really love each other. Not everybody. Some people that you got your believers and your make-believers. But some folks are just looking for a place to share the love of Jesus. Good person out of the good inside of his heart brings out good things. One of my favorite guys in the Bible, has nothing to do with anything other than finding Jesus, is this little short, crooked man, tax collector named Zacchaeus, who wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus and climbed up into a tree because he wasn't tall enough to see over the crowd. He climbed up to a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. But don't you know in his heart there was something burning that he wanted to be a good guy too? He'd been crooked and corrupt tax collector his whole life, but he wanted to be a good guy. Jesus walked by and says, Zacchaeus, come on down from here. I'm going to eat at your house today. Zacchaeus is so filled with joy at being accepted by Jesus Christ that he says, every person that I have stolen from, I'm going to return four times. He knew who he stole from. He said, I'm going to pay everybody back, and restitution, making good for the evil that you've done should be a part of what makes you go as a Christian. Right. Restitution. Right. You should want to do restitution, right? Start doing good for people when you've done evil before. Are you with me? So, Merry Christmas. I pray this is your best one ever. And I pray that your gift this year is more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Jesus amplified in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, with all your strength, that Jesus is amplified in you, in your family, in your loved ones.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message was titled, The Good, the Just, and the Redeemed. Christmas is a wonderful season, and we recognize that Jesus, the Son of God, was born in a manger. He was born so that he could die a death that would be a sacrifice for our sins, so that we could have eternity in heaven with God the Father. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who would place their faith in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways today. I believe that you lived a perfect life and died as a sacrifice for my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would wash me of all of my sinful ways. I walk forward as a new creation in you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with the power that raised Christ from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and you can find out more about CMCC, OFR, by going to our website, www.cmcconline.org. If this podcast has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's word? You can give online at www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.